Today's Tanya for the 9th of Shvat, Tes Shvat, is in Perek Yud Ches, chapter 18, on page 254. The Alter Rebbe is explaining the nature of the inborn, inherited love that every Jew has for God, that we get from our patriarchs, because they were the embodiment of holiness. They were holiness, therefore every child born to them, to the end of all generations, is born with a holy soul. And this holiness, it may be a maximum holiness or a lower level holiness, but it is holiness. And holiness includes a love of God. Where is this love rooted? In the element of chachma within the nefesh. Hine chachma himokir haseichel v'havon. Chachma is different from bina, because bina is comprehension, whereas chachma is the source of comprehension. V'hilemayla mehabina, it is higher than bina, shehu havonas haseichel v'hasagosi. So chachma, being higher than bina, is also higher than understanding and grasping. V'hachachma hilemayla mehavona v'hasaga v'himokir lahem. Chachma is the source and the origin of understanding, but it itself is pre-comprehension. V'zeh loshen chachma, and that's why the term chachma is used, because it means koyach ma. Chachma, broken into two words, is koyach ma, the potential for what is. Shehu ma she'enei musa gemuvan, that which is not yet understood. Ma refers to what is, to what is unknown. Ve'enei nitves b'hasaga adayin, and it is not yet comprehended in intelligence. So chachma, although it is a faculty of the mind, but it is pre-comprehension. Lochein mislabish bo eirein sev baruchu, and that's why godliness exists and rests within chachma, the less machshava tvisabei, because godliness cannot be contained in knowledge. There's no wisdom that can contain God, and that's why God is present in chachma, because chachma is pre-knowledge, pre-comprehension. Lochein kol Yisrael afilu hanoshim v'amei ha'oretz, and that's why all Jews, including women, including ignorant people, hey ma'aminim b'Hashem, they believe in God. In other words, women who didn't learn and men who didn't learn still had emunah. Because emunah is higher than knowledge, which means that emunah rests in the chachma of the neshama. Just as chachma is above knowledge, is pre-comprehension, the same as emunah cannot be contained in the mind, in the intellectual part of the mind, and therefore it is contained in the chachma of the mind. Kipesi yamin l'chol davar v'odum yovin, because as it says, the fool believes and the clever man understands. The fool in this case is a complement. Fool meaning that level which is above knowledge, where knowledge can't go. And on that level where knowledge can't go, that's where godliness is revealed, that's where emunah is felt, and that is the level of chachma. Gabi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and since in relation to God, Shehu L'mayla Min HaSeichel V'Hadas, who is above knowing, above being knowable, the less machshava tvisa beklal, and no thought can comprehend him. So compared to him, or relative to God, hakel kipiti emetzli yizbarich. All creation, all creatures are like fools to him. Kidachsiv, and as it says, we find in the pasuk that ignorance or foolishness is a virtue in relation to God. It says in Tillim, V'ani bar v'loy eda, I am a fool and ignorant, v'hamesa yisi imoch, I am like an animal before you, v'ani tamed imach, and I am constantly with you. What's the connection between being an animal and ignorant and being constantly with God? Klema, so the Alter Rebbe explains, shebozeh shani baru behemes, by the very fact that I am devoid of knowledge, and like an animal, that's why ani tamed imach, that's why I am constantly with you. Constantly with you means without exception. If a person serves God and is devoted to God only on the level of intelligence, to the degree that he understands, then he won't always be with God, because there will be that which he doesn't understand. And in that which he doesn't understand, he's on opposite ends of the spectrum with God. How can a person always be with God if he approaches God on a level above comprehension? So by the very fact that there is an aspect to the person that is a fool, that is above intelligence, beyond intelligence, that's what makes it possible to always be with God, to be consistently godly. And this is why even the lowest of the low, the most sinful Jew, is meisrim nafshem al kedushas Hashem al ha'aviv, will generally sacrifice their life rather than deny God's oneness, v'seiv l'minuyim koshim, and they'll even put up with harsh torture, shalei lichpe b'Hashem echad, rather than deny God's oneness. He says, al ha'aviv, that as a rule, even the lowest of the low will die rather than deny God. The fact that there are exceptions, there are occasions which a Jew will bow to the cross or give in to the tortures and so on, even that is not an indication of an absence of a neshama. Every Jew has a neshama, and that neshama is inherently basically godly, and being basically godly, it has emunah in God, and that emunah connects the Jew to God on a level that transcends intelligence, and therefore even for the lack of intelligence and the lack of learning and the lack of appreciation of godliness, the lowest of the low will sacrifice his life rather than deny God's oneness. The person who chooses not to die, chooses to bow to the cross, it's only because he doesn't believe in the cross. He hasn't really accepted an idol in his mind and heart, and therefore justifies the bowing as not being a denial of God's oneness. In most cases, bowing to a cross, to most Jews, is synonymous with denying God's oneness, and a Jew can't deny God's oneness. On the occasion, the rare occasion when it does happen, it's because lacking the faith in the idol and being only an empty, meaningless gesture, the person convinces himself that this is not a denial of God's oneness. But that which to this person would be a denial of God's oneness, for that he too would be willing to die rather than commit. The afim heim burim v'ami ha'ozet, and even if they are boors and illiterate, the ein yedim gdulas Hashem, they have no understanding of God's greatness. The gam b'ma'at sheyedim, and even if they know a little bit, but ein misbeinim klal, but they don't contemplate God's greatness, they don't dwell on it, and all of this proves that their devotion and their willingness to die does not come from any activity of their mind. Ein meisim nafsha machmas das v'hisbonimus b'Hashem klal, so that their mesiras nefesh doesn't come from any knowledge or from any contemplation, because whatever knowledge they do have, they don't contemplate. Elo, where then does this self-sacrifice come from? B'li shum das v'hisbonimus. It comes not from a place of intelligence or of knowledge, or of contemplation, but rather it's as if it were impossible, that there is no possibility of denying God's oneness. Not that he decides to not deny God's oneness, but that it's not possible for a Jew to do that. Belishum tam v'tayna umayna klal, without any reason or argument whatsoever. And this is an aspect of the patriarchs being visible in the grandchildren. The patriarchs were the Merkava, the chariot of godliness, as the Alter Rebbe said, which means that their entire existence was godliness. That's what they were. They weren't anything else. And this was true of the patriarchs in all parts of their life and at all times in their life. Whereas in the grandchildren, this same thing may be true, but it is not always visible. When the lowest of the low, the most ignorant, chooses to give up his life rather than bow to an idol, rather than to deny God's oneness, that's not because of a logical or rational decision. Rather, it comes from the fact that every Jew is inherently godly. That's what he is. And just as the patriarchs couldn't be anything else, the grandchildren too can't be anything else. And that's the feeling that moves the Jew to self-sacrifice. He can't be anything else. When pushed, when put to the test, when the Jew in him is aroused, then he is Jewish in the same way that the patriarchs were Jewish. It was their entire being. It was their essence. They could be no other way. And the same is true with the lowest of the low, of Jews of the lowest generation at the end of history in our times. V'hainu, and where is this felt? In the Jew, mishum shehashem echad meir mechayek kol hanefesh, because this godliness that exists in the chachma of every Jewish soul illuminates and animates the entire nefesh. So it's not just that he will believe in God because he's Jewish, but that this belief will affect his entire life to the point of giving up his life. It'll affect every act, every movement, every motion. As we said before, the Jew who does bow to a cross does so because he doesn't see it as a denial of God's oneness. Whereas most Jews, in most cases, even this empty act where he doesn't believe in the idol and he's not worshiping the idol and he's not accepting the idol, he's merely bowing because somebody has got a knife to his throat or a gun to his back and is pushing him over, making him bow. And yet he won't do it. Even that empty, meaningless, and external act, he can't allow himself to do it because it smacks of idolatry. And idolatry means a denial of God's oneness. So we see that it is no longer a matter of faith alone. It has permeated even his back, even his hands and feet, that they will not do an act that isn't godly. Al Yedei, this godliness comes to the different parts of the nefesh. Al Yedei Islapshuse Bibichinas Chachma Shebo, it is clothed first in the Chachma of the Nefesh, Shehila Maila Min Hadas V'Hasechel Hamusa Gumuvan. Why in the Chachma? Because Chachma is pre-comprehensive. It is above intelligence. It is above Bina, beyond grasp and knowledge. And there, godliness can be felt in its full force, without restriction, whereas in Seichel, Seichel is always finite, and Seichel is always restricted, and the connection that a Jew has to God is without restriction and without limit. And so it's felt in the Chochmah of the Nefesh, and from the Chochmah of the Nefesh, it spreads to all parts of the Nefesh, including also the most external act of bowing without believing it, without feeling it, without meaning it. And this is the degree of Mesiras Nefesh that we receive as an inheritance from the patriarchs. There's a story in the previous Rebbe's memoirs, not the book, the memoirs, but in the Yuman, where the Rebbe writes about a trip he was taking on a train in Russia, in the time when so many Jews had gotten involved in communism and so on, and he was told by the conductor that somebody in the train had noticed him and wants to meet him, wants to introduce himself. At first, the Rebbe didn't want to meet him. Eventually, he couldn't delay it or push it off. The man came in to the Rebbe's cabinet, to the Rebbe's compartment, and he introduced himself as the head of the secret police. He was a Jew, and very respectfully had come to see the Rebbe because he had heard so much about him and about the Rebbeim before. Anyway, he asked the Rebbe what his title was, what the Rebbe's title was. So the Rebbe said, Yid. So this man said, I understand, I mean, there are a lot of Jews, I mean, everybody's a Jew, but what is your title? So the Rebbe said to him, you're making a mistake. The true title is Jew. Because all other titles eventually will be taken away. But the title Jew can never be taken away. A Jew is always a Jew. There are times when there are those Jews who, to whom Yiddishkeit is very precious, and the Jewish people is very precious, and they will die even for a custom, for a minhag. And there are those whose Yiddishkeit, whose Jewishness express themselves in lesser form. There are those who will die for a mitzvah. There are those who will die for Yiddishkeit when all of it is threatened. There are those who will die for the Jewish people when they're threatened. But in all forms and in many ways, the essential Jewishness of the Jew expresses itself. And that's because a Jew is inherently a different kind of a creature. He is a creature of holiness. And it's just a question of where that holiness will show. The Hayyim Yom for the ninth day of Shvat, the Rebbe writes that Kishasiyim Am were Hashas bePam Hashlishis, that when my father, Rebbe Rashab, completed the Shas, learned through the Shas for the third time, Omar Maimer Dach, Divrei Elokim Chayim, he said a Maimer of Chassidus, the Teichnei, and the content of the Maimer was Mahu Hadran. What is the meaning of the Hadran, of the statement, or the verses that I read at the conclusion of the Gemara? Vishnas ho Avelus achre ime, in the year of Avelus, after his mother passed away, Siyim amu shas Mishnah l'seif yid alef chedesh, my father completed the study of Mishnah at the end of the 11 months, u'liyem hayartzait, and for the day of the Yartzeit, when the entire year was up, he concluded Kol HaShas, the study of the entire Shas. And it's interesting to note that that day, the ninth of Shvat, was also the last day of the year of Avelus that the Tzaddik Rebbe had for his mother.